The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Sports Talk 1240 is brought to you by DraftPot.com. DraftPot is changing fantasy sports. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with promo code SportsTalk1240 and receive a 100% deposit bonus up to $1,500. And now, Sports Talk 1240.
And we're back for the second hour of Sports Talk 1240. Gary and John here with you on WGBB 1240 AM. Our second hour of Sports Talk 1240 is being tonight sponsored by Harbor Beverage Merchants of Huntington. Harbor specializes in craft beers. Many of the best of microbrewing can be found at Harbor. They also have a 10-spot growler station where you can try and buy some fantastic beers from local and national breweries. They honor all competitors' coupons and run specials of their own. So make sure you visit Matt and the gang at Harbor Beverage Merchants at 204 New York Avenue in Huntington, or call 631-427-1600 for more information. They also have a Facebook page. And, you know, usually I mention when we have our foot doctor, that my foot doctor that sponsors the show, you know, that, you know, I've been a patient of his for 20 years. Well, I've been a drinker of his for a year.
Drinker.
Ever since I finally had the chance to start being able to drink a little bit after my weight loss surgery, I can, you know, say, hey, I get my growlers from Harbor Beverage. But, you know, Matt's a great guy. He's a big, huge Islander fan. Was at the game last night. Had, you know, sending me pictures on, like, the fifth or sixth row. I'm like, what, did you sacrifice your kid to get those seats? We could talk about that another time. But, you know, we're definitely making a phone call to our next guest in a couple minutes. Again, the top of the third is over. Syndergaard gave up a walk on two outs to Dexter Fowler and got Schwarber to knock out to end the struck out for a sixth strikeout of the inning of the game.
Wow.
Three innings, six strikeouts. He's averaging 98 on his fastballs. He's had a few already at 100.
I wonder why they call him Thor.
Oh, you ever hear Boomer and Carton when they talk about him? They get the Norse horn going. It's ridiculous. I actually, you know, I was gonna, you know, wear my Syndergaard jersey, but, you know, I just got one from that Ally Express company, you know, that Chinese company. The ones that cost like $25. Yeah. But it looks really good. But anyway, so it, like I said, it's pretty interesting, you know, situation for the Rangers to have to deal with, you know, like, you know, and we said it, I said it in July when we were on the air that I think the biggest problem they were going to have with the salary cap was holding on to guys like Carl Hagelin. To me, I think they're going to miss him so much more than they realize.
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll be fine in the end, but I, you know, I don't think they're as strong as some of these guys, you know, talking these NHL, you know, pundits or whatever you want to call them. You know, I mean, again, I expect them to make the playoffs. They're definitely going to challenge, but, you know, I don't think they're as strong as some of these guys are saying. You know, 3-0, they already had them, you know, having planning the parade in Manhattan Stanley Cup.
Well, so many of them have, right? But again, he was, to me, was a facet, because you knew at least once a game, you knew Hagelin was going to take off and have a break of his own.
It was like Grabner.
Yeah, and I don't think he's even played in Toronto yet. I don't think.
No, he played the night I saw him the other night with the Toronto defense. Just looked absolutely god awful. I mean, they were Phaneuf. Just, I could have played defense better than that.
John, you were playing second base for the Mets. Now you're going to play defense for Toronto. Well, well, you know what? We'll bring our next guest in to talk about this. Again, every Islander fan knows who this voice is going to be coming on the line. Hall of Fame broadcaster Jiggs McDonald covering for Howie Rose, doing Islander broadcasts on MSG Plus. And Jiggs, you know, you were our first guest, so it was very important for you to come back. And listen, you know, we're glad you're taking off, you know, some Florida golf in October to be up in the little cold here in New York for a little while. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, too.
I appreciate being asked, Gary. Thank you. a Grabs did play the other night, by the way, in Toronto and set up an empty net goal.
Oh, did he? Okay. Unfortunately, I didn't get to check the stat books on this, but I knew you would help.
Yes.
So you and I had a Facebook conversation a couple of weeks ago, and you said, I think I'm only going to have to cover three games. Did you really think the Mets weren't going to get out of the first round? Come on, I know you're from Canada. I know you're a Toronto fan. Come on, but you know, what do you think?
It certainly sounds that way, doesn't it?
Yeah,
you got me. I guess. Yeah, Well, I thought they would beat the Dodgers, but a bunch of guys that I do play golf with and associate with and around in Ontario said, no, they can't beat our Dodgers. They can't beat our Dodgers. And okay, we'll see. I guess what I was meaning was that it'd be around for three guaranteed.
Yeah, three guaranteed. Okay. We'll accept that. So, obviously, the tough start the first two games with the Blackhawks, and then, I think if you had to make a statement for this past week, you could say, yeah, we're going to come to Brooklyn undefeated, and then we're going to come out defeated. I mean, what do you think? I mean,
there are a lot of different areas here. I give the coaching staff a lot of credit. I think many of us who have been around this team and around the coaching staff over the past, coming out of Chicago, and especially after the game there, would have thought, well, he'll change the lines. He'll go back to the kid line. He'll do this. He'll do that. And he didn't. He stuck with his guns. He came back. Yeah, he threw a bunch of guys together, mixed up the lines in Chicago. But when they came back home to start this three-game set here, he was back to Tavares between Lee and Strome. He had Brock Nelson playing on the right side with Kuhlman and Grabowski, as we know, and kept that fourth line together. And his third line, there were three veteran Islanders with Franz Nielsen in the middle, and you go to Kyle on the right and Josh on the left, and the defense pairing stayed the same. And he just said, this is going to be my team. We being the media, talking with Jack at practice, said, what do you think? What about this? He said, I've told the guys, meaning Ryan Strome and Anders Lee, if you're going to play with 91, you're going to face the best opponents in the league, because the other team is going to match you with their best defense pair. They're going to come back with their best forwards to make sure that you don't get anything done or that John doesn't get anything done. So you're going to have to elevate your game because you're going to see the other guys best night after night. It's up to you how you react. Show me that you can do it. Well, they have.
So, I have to ask you this question, Jiggs, because, you've obviously been around this team back in the day of the, those guys that, some Islander fans might have familiarity with, like, Mike Bossy and Brian Trottier and that. I gotta ask you, your thoughts about John Tavares. The guy just blows. I mean, he brings such excitement when I listen to the games. I feel the way I did when Bossy and Trottier were playing.
He has so much talent, so much athleticism in that body, so much in the way of hockey smarts, and not just hockey smarts. He's a good, intelligent young man to begin with. But the way he sees the game, reads, and reacts, he's gotten stronger. He's gotten he's become a better skater. And I was telling the group from Nashville the other night that Barb Underhill in Toronto has to receive all the credit in the world. Remember how John skated the first year?
Very sluggishly at times.
Yeah. And it wasn't power skating, and it's not figure skating, but what Barbara Underhill did was taught John and a whole bunch of other players, balance, how to use their blades, how to rely on their edges and gain that strength, and where you actually skate on that skate and how you get from point A to point B with extra acceleration and that kind of thing. And she has done it with several of the Maple Leafs, as awful as they can be at times. But her junior team started out to be the Guelph Storm. And I'm trying to recall, her husband was a skater as well. And Barbara Underhill has got to take huge pride in what John has accomplished.
Just we were talking actually, John and I, before the broadcast, and we were just singing the praises of Thomas Greiss. And I mean, obviously, here's a kid who started his career in San Jose and was stuck behind Andy Niemi, a goaltender who played 65, 68, 70 games a year. He goes to Pittsburgh last year and gets behind Marc-Andre Fleury, another 65 to 68 game goaltender. Never really gets a chance to get into a groove, if you will. And I think, truthfully, I mean, I went to Friday's game and, you know, the opening night game, and, you know, he did, you know, I kept saying as we left, he really didn't, he didn't look so bad. You know, he looked pretty comfortable. And then the next game saying, you know, yeah, the Chicago, you know, I mean, obviously it wasn't, he didn't play in the Chicago the game in Chicago, but, you know, the three games, you know, the two games in the homestand, he looked tremendous. He looked like a guy who's been out there playing 50 games a year for 10 years. I mean, I don't know what it is. Is it just a matter of, you know, getting the chance to be behind the net for two or three straight games gives somebody that much confidence to get him going?
I think it does. Yeah, I think when you know that you're going to be the guy, with Varo on the shelf as he was, you're going to get the bulk of the games. I think it just gave him that mental attitude or push. He knew he would be the man. He knew he had to be the man if his team was going to contend or stay in the game. He is a good goaltender. There's no question. You look at the number of shots that were fired at him, and then I know you can make statistics to anything, but his record when he faces 40 or more shots in a game has been outstanding. He is quality. Talking to the San Jose people, they knew that they weren't going to be able to keep him. They had their one, their two, and he was going to be number three on the food chain, if you would. And a similar situation developed along the line. Phoenix didn't really give him the opportunity that he probably deserved there. I think that it was an outstanding off-season signing to get him over here. And then, of course, for L.A. to try and get Jean-François Berube through waivers and unable to do it. And with Jarl in that injury situation, the Islanders did another fine piece of business. I don't know now that Jarl is healthy just exactly how they're going to be able to get Berube over the Bridgeport if they do, or what lies ahead for him.
Yeah, he could, if they have to put him through the waiver wire. I mean, you could see a team like Buffalo grabbing him, you know, especially with their goalie.
What, Larrabee
now?
He's
going to be out six to eight weeks with his injury.
Yeah, or maybe Columbus says, hey, here's an opportunity to do some business. Boy, that team, I had no thought at all of that team being 0-6 at this stage of the season.
Yeah, I mean, just a matter of, we had Brad Kurtzberg on, and we were talking about it. They basically, the quotes coming out of Bobrovsky, this saying is he's got a complete lack of confidence. I mean, you know, for a goaltender, his ilk, you know, a potential Vezina Trophy winner, you know, to come out, you know, in this juncture of the season and say he's got no confidence. That's a scary thought, not only for the team and for the goaltender, but for the coaching staff as well.
Yeah,
you think Todd Richards has to be on the firing line.
Yeah, and you look at some of the quotes coming from the coach as well, that he doesn't know how to fix this. Wait a minute. You're not seeing what's going on? You have no idea how you're going to fix this? You better say something altogether different to the media or to the public than what you've just said. You better come back and walk that one back, as they say in the political forum these days.
Yeah, right.
That just isn't going to fly.
Yeah, no, that's not a good thing to say. And you know, and I've caught a couple of Blue Jacket games, and they just did not look like the team that won, you know, came down the home stretch last season on fire.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is going to be a test for the Islanders because you know that they're going to be jacked up.
Yes.
Facing a team that they've beaten in the past in a key game last year, the last regular season game at the Coliseum. They're on paper, they're not that bad. On the ice right now, they've been horrendous, starting the goaltender out. We just hope that this will be a good indicator, a good barometer for Islander fans. If this team is matured, they go in there and say, you're not going to push us around. We've come to beat you. Not just give it a so-so kind of effort, expecting everything to fall into place for them.
Yeah, I totally agree, because those were the typical types of games that in the past 3 years, you know, they had trouble winning.
Yep.
And this will be, again, as you say, the sign of maturity. Switching a little gears, obviously, you know, Thomas Hickey coming back, to me, it looks like he didn't lose a step, fitting in. I think it's a great thing to have, be able to have that extra seventh defenseman and stuff. Obviously, you know, the fans kind of get on Brian Strait a little bit. I try to kind of defend him a little bit. I think he's a hard knock player. He gets, you know, unfortunately some of the bad breaks get multiplied, I think, when he makes it. But I still think he's a good person to have on this locker room. You feel the same way?
I do. Some of the hits that he threw the other night, his timing, I thought, was much better than it has been on occasion. By timing, I mean reading the play, making the pass, taking the man, not getting caught up ice, and giving the other team the opportunity of a two-on-one or a flat-out breakaway. He has matured a lot in that respect. And that's another thing that's happened with Calvin DeHaan as well. I think Calvin is reacting much quicker this year, and this may be oversimplifying it a little, but he isn't requiring that second or half second to think, what do I do now?
Mm-hmm.
Because when you do that, you've lost it. They're on you, and whatever play was there isn't going to develop or be there for you anymore. He's moved the puck well. He's hit. I'm going to come back to that. He's been able to read and react and do some really good things for them. And the addition of Jedlicki back there, he just, you know, he's that veteran. He can slow things down. He can just take the puck back and say, okay, let's try this. Let's reorganize. Let's make the play happen here. Let's not just throw it away. I think the combination of the D, provided everybody stays healthy, is going to be very, very good. This is a good, solid hockey team. The youth of the Ryan Strom only going to get better. He's going to get stronger, mm-hmm. upper body, I think. And the way he can kind of compliment John, and then you've got Anders over on that other side, and he's
is
just
a monster.
Does he remind you of the guy that used to wear 27?
Yeah. By the way, I just got to give an update. The Mets are now up 4-0.
Okay. Excellent.
Yep, they're up 4-0. Okay.
And, you know,
just to give you a little heads up, I will leave the team after the game in Columbus on Tuesday night. I'll go back and get fresh underwear, clean shirts, and be ready to come back. Hallie will be in the booth on Friday night.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And Saturday in St. Louis, I guess it all depends where the Mets Cubby series is. If they've ousted the Cubs, he'll have an extra day and may go to St. Louis. We're not getting the cart way ahead of Hallie here.
Yeah.
and then I guess we need to sort out dates for World Series and travel and that kind of thing. But let's get through the series against the Cubbies.
Yeah,
exactly.
But Hallie will get to sit in that chair at the Barclays Center next Friday night, and I've already warned him to dress warmly.
It's a little bit cold. I wasn't sitting too far away from you, Jigs, on Friday, last Friday of the opener, but it is a little bit chilly. So that's what I was just going to get to. And you know, obviously, you know, we're all kind of biased. You know that, obviously, from, you know, knowing us all these years. But what are your thoughts of the atmosphere of the place? Obviously, you know, being it's obviously a bigger facility, you know, a taller facility, if you will. It's not going to have that barn rocking loudness that that we've been used to for 43 years. But you know, I can say here on the air that the other half of my family here, my wife is not totally thrilled with everything there. But I'm just wondering what your thoughts of it. Obviously, you've been to all these other arenas and you know what all the amenities are like. I'm just wondering, you know, what should the typical Islander fan that hasn't been there yet expect?
You nailed it. It's the height of the building. The sound just kind of disappears. We hear the yes, yes, yes. We hear the cheers. The guys are hearing it, but not nearly as loud. The fans can be as loud as they want. It still won't be the Coliseum. The building doesn't retain that sound to reverberate the way the Coliseum did.
Right.
And it's because of the hugeness of it, if you will.
What about as a broadcaster, Jigs? What are your thoughts of it? You know, obviously you're sitting a lot lower than you used to.
Right amongst the crowd. It's similar in some respects to when I first joined the Islanders in 1980, and our broadcast booth was just above one of the portals there at the Coliseum, and we had fans to the right, to the left, below us.
Mm-hmm.
We were right in the middle of it, and it's similar in that respect. But again, I don't sense the decibel level. I know it's there. I know the crowd is cheering as loudly as they did at the Coliseum, but the building just doesn't retain it that way. And a couple of the guys in the dressing room, we were talking about it, and they said, you know, the crowd just, we don't hear the crowd the way we did, but they see the crowd. They know that the crowd is with them, and the yes, 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 and everything else that's been going on. They know it's there. It's just one of the differences between the Barclays Center, the Coliseum, and several other the arenas. I mean, you look at the Rock. I don't think the building in New Jersey rocked the way the Coliseum did when the Devils went to the Stanley Cup Final even a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one of the things with the new buildings that is hard to put a finger on. Trying to think of some other buildings that have been, well, yeah, the similar situation. Maple Leaf Gardens closes the doors and the Leafs go to the Air Canada Center. And again, the atmosphere altogether different. Same from the old Boston Garden.
To the team.
Yeah, to the team, right.
Yeah. You know, it just, and I can think too, Chicago does, but that is primarily, I think, through the anthem.
No,
that
yeah.
organ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
more so than the regular cheering for a Blackhawks goal. It's as close to Chicago Stadium as you can get, probably, but a lot of that has to do with the amenities, with the organ, and the way they cheer through the anthem.
Well, and, you know, it's funny because to me, it could be my imagination and just my bias, but even like when the Islanders score goals, the horn, you know, at the Coliseum, I could be anywhere in the house, and if the game was on, I knew the Islanders scored because I could hear it anywhere, you know, but I felt like I had to be in the living room and I could just like hear the horn in the background.
Good point, John. Yeah, it doesn't have that cutting
resonance,
right?
Yeah, it doesn't reach that again, that decibel level that it did at the Coliseum. Yeah.
So let's just end on a couple of good things, and I mentioned a stat to John when he came in tonight, and it kind of shocked him. would have imagined that 5 games into the season that Sidney Crosby does not have a single point?
No, I never would.
Yeah, it just blew my mind away because somebody made a comment on Facebook saying Josh Bailey has 3 points and Sidney Crosby has none. Because unfortunately, you know my wife Claire very well, and she is a big, big, big Josh Bailey fan. And anytime anybody said anything, whether it was in the Coliseum or the Barclays Center, she'd turn around and rip their heads off. So yeah,
good
for Claire, exactly. But I really think. And I said it in the beginning of the season when I was doing some podcasts and stuff. I mean, to me, this is the season where he needs to really, you know, and he's always shown improvement every year, and I'm behind him all the way. But I mean, to me, this is the season where he needs to step up. And I think last night, to me, was one of the best games he's played in a long, long time. Do you think?
I do. And I think what he does is probably something that the majority of the fans don't see or don't appreciate. So many are looking at how many goals did he get, how many assists, this kind of thing, and the drama involved with the goals. But Josh is so good defensively, creative, first play out of the zone. When it comes to putting the puck in the net, for the most part over his career, that's been somebody else's responsibility. But he is creative and And I wouldn't be shocked at all if some of these nights you may see him on the left side with John, depending on who the opposition is, because of that defensive ability. Not a liability at all. He is a guy who can get back, recover, and alleviate a mistake that has been made or a problem that's developing. His speed is there, and he kind of flies under the radar.
Yep.
But I think a productive season, a 20-25 goal season from Josh would be a huge bonus for the
Tigers. Just what the doctor ordered.
Yeah, just exactly what he needs. What a great tonic it would be for him.
Now, how you know, a guy who a lot of people were sort of questioning about how, you know, is he going to be okay? You know, Kyle Okposo, and now he's not, you know, he's not playing with JT, and, you know, what can we expect from his numbers? And, you know, he's obviously up, his contract is up at the end of the season. 6 points. What do you think of his play?
I love the play. The goal that he scored on the partial breakaway the other night, that was the Nashville game,
mm-hmm.
And what he did last night.
Yeah.
Not just the production, but he played his wing so well. I thought both offensively and defensively. Defense comes first. As Al Arbor used to preach, defense is going to win you hockey games, and he was on his man. He made some great moves last night. His athletic ability is good. I think maybe a question over the last, well, two questions over the last season would be the recovery from the eye injury.
Yep.
And is he thinking the game all the time? Is he kind of slow thinking or reacts late to things? He didn't react late to anything last night at all, or the game against Nashville. I think if he can continue to play at this level, and I'm not saying he's got to have a 3-point game every night, but if he can do the things defensively and chip in on that line, the terminology balanced scoring comes to mind. And boy,
yep.
Oh boy,
that, yep.
It's there. It was there last night. I think we got to mention, or I have to mention, the Korbofsky line with Coleman and Nelson.
Yeah.
I think they are just starting to reach their potential, and to have Korbofsky healthy and skating the way he is, Cooley's going to get his goals, and we know the ability of a Brock Nelson, and he can fire the puck, and he's smart. He can skate for a big man. That's for down the line of your four lines, your top 12 forwards, and it's a pretty good balance.
Now that's definitely what we wanted to hear, and you know, again, after those first couple of games, things have looked a lot more comfortable in Islander land, and it's always been an absolute pleasure hearing the dulcet tones of Jigs McDonald calling the games with Butchie. We love when you're there. You know, I'm sorry.
Very, very fortunate guy.
Yeah.
Very fortunate to be able to step in like this, to have the opportunity. The confidence, the trust, I guess, that the Madison Square Garden Network folks have shown in the past and the present to come back and occupy Howie's chair.
Well, you've been keeping it warm for him.
Yeah.
You've been keeping it warm for him. Believe me, I think every fan, every Islander fan here appreciates the fact that we can get you to come back and do it for us. Hopefully, I'm going to be down in Florida at Thanksgiving time. Maybe I'll catch up with you.
I look forward to that.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going down to see the Islanders over the Thanksgiving holiday, so I will try to catch up with you when we're down there.
All right, Gary. That'll be fun.
All right, Jigs, again, thank you so much for coming on. And,
thanks, Jigs.
And keep calling those great games for us.
I will, Gary. John, good to talk to you as well. Have fun, boys.
All right. Thanks again, care. Jigs. Again, the one, the only, the legend, Jigs
That's
McDonald.
It.
Oh, it's just it's such a pleasure talking to him, and you know what, the enthusiasm, the love for the game, you know, the great, and I'm not saying because it's Jigs, but again, any in any sport, you always see the great announcers never lose that enthusiasm
for the game.
The game
itself.
I mean, you know, just looking last week, or actually a couple weeks ago when the season ended, I actually got to watched a Dodger game at the end of the season, and to see Vin Scully still doing the Dodgers, not only doing it since, 1951?
Yeah.
But he does it alone, John. He has no color guy. He does everything himself. Yes, he's got somebody tweeting for him, but he does everything himself. And you know what? It doesn't sound out of place. Because there's some announcers that we've seen over the years that, you know they should be like, you know, on a farm somewhere, you know, away from it. Jiggs is one that is as relevant today as he was in 1981 when he stepped up to the mic for the Islanders covering, you know, the second Stanley Cup. You know, and he just is relevant today. And that's, you know, we were very spoiled to get that when Howie has to cover his Mets, and to have Jiggs around is just an absolute blessing. So, Brian, I think we're going to take our last break of the night. And when we come back, we will take calls. So if you want to give us a call, talk about Mets, Islanders, anything else you want to talk about, 631-888-8811 is the number to call. Sports Talk 1240 WGBB.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. Be sure and visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Hey, fantasy sports fans. DraftPot has an exclusive offer for Sports Talk 1240 listeners. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit up to $1,500. That's right. Sign up today at DraftPot.com with the promo code SportsTalk1240, and DraftPot will match 100% of your first deposit up to $1,500. What are you waiting for? Do it now.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gust Buster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit GustBuster.com and get your GustBuster today.
Whether you're a couple enjoying a romantic meal for two, a family wanting to dine in a relaxed and friendly setting, or a larger party wanting to celebrate a special occasion, Miller Place Pastoria always combines a warm welcome with the finest contemporary Italian cuisine and wines, also serving up Long Island's favorite pizza. We're located right on Route 25A in Miller Place. Come visit us today and check us out online at mppastoria.com.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
Hey, and we're back for the last 30 minutes of Sports Talk 1240. We are at the top of the fifth inning at Citi Field. The Mets are still up 4-0. Syndergaard's only given up one hit and struck out six. Arrieta's also struck out six, but has given up those four runs. Again, three in the first and one in the third. And hopefully in a couple minutes, I should be getting a call in from my source at the seats, if you will. if you heard the commercial for Country Foot Care, Dr. Stephen Brook, who has been a friend of mine for 20 years. He's my podiatrist, as well as a sponsor of Sports Talk 1240, is at the Met game. He has got some fantastic seats, John. I'm telling you, they're like they're 10th row off the field, behind home plate. They're ridiculous.
So he's our roving reporter.
Doc Steve is our roving reporter. And he did mention to me, I talked to him this morning, and I mentioned He got me. I asked for a program, so he got me a program from last night, and he said it was probably one of the coldest nights he's ever spent at a ballpark in his life. And that is just, that's crazy. But and I'm sure it's just as cold tonight because I had my electric fireplace on this afternoon when I came home from my, I did the American Breast Cancer Walk this morning at Jones Beach, and that was cold. Oh, my God. So when I got home, that electric fireplace was going full blast. So needless to say, it's cold season. So, again, if you want to give us a call and talk, well, again, Islanders, Rangers, NHL, NFL, again, the Jets with a big win today over the, now I forgot who they played. Oh, my God. The Washington Redskins. No, just kidding. They beat the Washington Redskins. They're 4-1, and they are going to play the New England Patriots next week. Should be an interesting game between the Jets and the Pats. I think actually I'm circling November 12th on the calendar. I think that's when the Jets play Rex Ryan and the Bills.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a Sunday night game too, or Sunday or Monday night. It's a special game, so I know it'll be on national TV. So
that
should be
12th is a Thursday. I think that's a Thursday.
That's a Thursday night game. Oh, okay. So yeah, so it's on national TV at MetLife. So I'm curious to see how the Jets fans are going to. Say hello to.
He's not doing so well in Buffalo.
He's 2-2. You didn't expect him to win a Super Bowl. Not with that. You know, they got a couple of good offensive weapons. The quarterback, you know, he had a great start, but he's a little shaky. You know, you can't expect miracles from him. But his defense is good. That you know you're going to expect.
Right.
But who would have thought the Jets would have the best defense in the NFL right now? You know, before this game, I think they gave up the least amount of points. I think they only gave up like 55 points in four games. That's crazy.
I play in a fantasy league where the team defense, not the individual defense players.
Right.
I had the Jets last year. I don't have them this year though.
Yeah, too bad, huh? Yeah. Unfortunately, John was getting all sorts of dings from smack talk on his phone. So you heard dings going on during the broadcast.
Yeah.
You know what? It's John's
fault. I silenced it, but it's the watch and the fantasy yapping smack talk in the league I play in.
Yeah,
my brother Chris, if you're out there, Chris, tell those guys to shut up.
Yeah, it's funny. I've just been getting some comments on Facebook again. Again, Jigs, thank you so much for coming on. We really, really appreciate it. And so many people have just now said to me, you know, they can listen to you talk for hours. So that's that's the impact that someone like Jigs has. Not, you know, and again, greats like Jack Buck and Vince Scully and those types of announcers.
Right.
You know, those guys can do it forever, you know, and I'm sure Jigs' wife Marilyn won't let him do it forever, but, you know, he's the type of guy that you can, you know, you can listen to him 10 years from now, and I'm sure, you know, if he was capable of doing it and wanting to do it, he'd be relevant.
Yep.
And that's exactly the way I felt listening to Vince Scully. And and it just brings me back to, you know, my mom and dad talking about, you know, listening to the radio in the 50s when it was either Red Barber or it was Vince Scully.
I think he's coming back.
One more year.
Yeah.
He's doing one more year. I mean, he only does the home games. He does the home games, and I think he may do San Diego games. He may take the drive down to San Diego for the weekend. That's only 2 hours. And I think occasionally he may do an Arizona Diamondback game, but that's just, you know, he doesn't go out east or anything like that.
Right.
You know, it'd be a shame. I would love to know if he would actually, you know, come maybe east to do one more trip, you know, one more trip to New York. You know, that would be, you know, a testament, you know, to say, you know, this is where I started 65 years ago, you know, and here I'm, you know, finishing my career, you know, all the way through. It's just amazing.
He started broadcasting when Ty Cobb was still alive.
Yeah, that's right. Well, yeah, Cobb didn't die till 62, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so like I said, if you want to give us a shout, 631-888-8811 is the number. Two outs in the top of the fifth already. So no slowing down, Mr. Syndergaard, especially after, you know, everybody got concerned when he pitched game five.
I have to admit, I was too, and I thought they would have pushed his start back, but I guess, you know, he must have told Terry.
Well, you know, when you think about it, you know, and somebody had to remind me about this, the way they set him up, this would have been, you know, that day would have been his, you know, his, like, extended pitch day. 2 days, two days before a start.
Oh, okay.
So they treated it as such. Yeah, he only threw 10 pitches in the inning.
That's right, yeah.
So it wasn't like he was over, you know, overused. So it's just treated like, you know, a typical day. So he probably didn't throw in the bullpen at 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever, or 2 o'clock in the afternoon before the start. So he just did, you know, that little session or whatever, you know, in the bullpen before going out to pitch that inning. So it didn't waste him. And of course, Matt Harvey yesterday.
Yeah, what a 7 2/3. Nine strikeouts.
And 90, again, a conservative 90 pitches. You know, he 92 pitches.
That's
he
right.
Really, you know, he made it economically safe, you know, and I'm sure Scott Boras was like jumping in his seat after every pitch, but you know, don't get me started on him. But
don't like him for numerous reasons, yeah. Really beyond Matt Harvey.
But think about it. In the last 2 days, I've had a very happy 2 days as a fan. The Islanders win. The Mets win. People also know I'm a Notre Dame fan. Notre Dame beat USC. No big deal, but they did. You know, they came back. Good solid win in the fourth quarter. The only thing I lost on was my English soccer team. They got destroyed by Manchester United, but that's okay. But then, of course, today, the Jets win. And I'm not going to be anti-Ranger, but, you know, but everybody knows I'm a big Islander fan. So, of course, what do Islander fans do? So I will say a lot of Islander Nation is a very happy nation today. And I'll leave it at that. So this way it keeps me hopefully out of trouble. But, you know, again, we've said this word 5 or 6 times already. It is a small sample set. It's not – you can't base anything on
– Yeah, 2 weeks is not
you
a
can't base
season.
It on 2 games. But, again, the old cliche will come back. You know, what you did in October could affect you in April. You know, that one loss you could have had in the middle of October to a team you're never going to see the rest of the season, you know, they'll say, oh, well, that was the reason you didn't get in second place. You know, like, no, it wasn't. It was the fact we didn't finish up in April right, you know. You know, again, you know, as far as the Island is concerned, they could have had second place. They lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets on the last game of the season, last home game. So that was the reason, you know, not the game in October. Unfortunately, it's still April that it happens. But
well, this is the time to pile up the points and, you know, the –
Correct.
I made on the blog post today, the last paragraph is, you know, this is where, you know, this is how the Islanders were successful last season. They built up all those points early. And they have to kind of, you know, you have to replicate that, go into November and keep winning.
Exactly. So just was, you know, sitting around here looking at the numbers and looking at some of the stats, as we mentioned, obviously, you know, Tavares in the top 6 in the league, I think, with 8 points. Again, early in the season, too early to tell. But I know he definitely doesn't have a run on the Lady Bing Award already with his 16 penalty minutes.
Yeah, he blew that the
He blew that night. In one shot. You know, obviously, Oposo, you know, slow start, but picking up 6 points, 2 goals, 4 assists. The thing that surprises me is I look all the way down to the bottom of the stat sheet. What do I see? Nick Leddy. 5 games, no points, -1. He's only averaging 19.25 in ice time. And here's the big kicker. 5 games, 3 shots.
Yeah, what's going on?
I don't know. That's the part that bothers me. I mean, obviously, Boychuk, 21 shots in 5 games. He's averaging close to 21 minutes. Obviously, Hamonic is your big-time eater. He's got almost 24 and a half per game. You know, and again, to me, I thought that was the most vital thing. I mean, having a healthy Travis Hamonic in the last 10 games of the season would have been crucial for us. Much different situation. Again, you know, everybody knocks on Brian Strait. I think Brian Strait had a decent playoff run. He didn't have a great run. He had a decent run. He played well. He played yeoman-like. He didn't, you know, he didn't make that many mistakes. He wasn't that brutal. But he did.
He played as well as they could have expected. Or,
Exactly. But you know, you just you got to be happy as an Islander fan. You have to be happy with the start. After the first 2 nights, you were about ready to say, "Oh God!" And sure enough, how many on the Facebook boards, whether it was hardcore, blue and orange, or what have you, how many people were already saying put Jack Capuano's head on a silver platter? I'm like, give me a break. Okay, is this my? Oh, you can't hear. Okay, we got a call coming in. Hello?
Hey.
Is this my good buddy, Dr. Steve?
It sure is.
And
from row 12, right behind home plate at City Field, watching the Mets go crazy.
And from the sound of your voice, you must be a very happy camper.
I am. It's the first time I ever saw somebody walk somebody intentionally to face Cespedes. That was really unbelievable.
That's right. Cespedes got the single to drive in the fourth run, right? Was that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, I didn't get to see the screen, unfortunately. I don't have the TV on, but so tell me, how many times has Syndergaard hit 100 on the gun?
I couldn't hear the question, Gary.
I said how many times has Noah Syndergaard hit 100 miles an hour on the speed gun?
Actually, really none today, because he's mixing in his changeup and his curveball. He's really pitching instead of just throwing, and that's why he's only given up one hit.
Yeah, and he struck out 6 so far, right? Is that correct?
No, he's got 8 now.
He's got 8 now. Oh, God.
8 strikeouts.
But, wow.
The Cubs are in another place, and it certainly isn't hitting his pitches tonight. And Arrieta looks very hittable, which is kind of fun to watch.
Yeah, now let me ask this question. Is there any banners that you might see saying maybe Daniel Murphy should run for president?
I don't know, but in the first inning when he hit the loud foul ball and then came back with a home run, I got a feeling he's got a big S under his jersey, and it's not because he's smart.
Oh, that's
anyway, Murph's up right now, so I'll stay with you through the at-bat. I wish I could run my hot dogs game.
No,
see you later, Gary.
All right, thanks, Dr. Okay. Brooke. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in. Oh, wow. So there you go. Live, our first live update. Live.
Yeah, see, that was good. We got to do that more often.
Yeah, we definitely do. Yeah, well, we probably will not be broadcasting while the games are on.
You don't think they could convince us that they could have us go to an Islander game and actually do the show, you know?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, well, again, we're behind because on my screen it's just saying Dino Murphy's up now, and David Wright struck out, and there's 2 outs in the fifth. But again, he's given up 4 hits, but from the sounds of it, he's been hittable. 6 strikeouts for Arrieta, 2 walks, 4 hits, and of course the big one, you know, obviously the moonshot by Murphy to right field, and you know maybe I got it. If he wins the MVP and they do something in the World Series and they do something magic, maybe he could be Donald Trump's running mate.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah,
that'd be perfect.
Why not? Yeah.
As you say, that'd be huge. Again, if you want to give us a call, get us out of this mess here. 631-888-8811 is the number. Let's just double check here, just to give you some other scores that are going on in the world. I believe that the New England Patriots are winning 17-14 against the Indianapolis Colts. That's late in the second quarter. Again, we all know about the Ranger game. The Rangers lose to the Devils, 2-1 in overtime. I believe that Winnipeg lost to St. Louis today.
Oh, they did lose. Okay.
Lost 4-2. Yeah, end of one in Vancouver. Edmonton won, Vancouver won, and the other game, Anaheim. Oh, wait, Anaheim, 2 goals after 2 periods. Okay, they've just doubled their goal output over the last 4 games. So
hey,
you got to think that's a positive there. Just checking to see if Mr. Connor McDavid got the goal, you know, because he's finally woken up. And the people I've talked to in Edmonton say they're just loving every minute that he's on the ice. And he's actually making guys like Nail Yakupov, who was the complete afterthought, you know, that former first-round draft pick that was a complete...
They wanted to trade.
They wanted a bag of pucks for him. They really didn't care. But so far, things are looking better that they've got McDavid on the line with him. Actually, no, it was Taylor Hall that got the goal. But Brandon Sutter, who we were talking about with Pittsburgh, 5 goals already for the Vancouver Canucks.
Jeez.
Yep, and they basically were dumping him for salary reasons. And again, you know, to me, Sutter was an effective player on that Penguin team.
Like I said, he had so many big goals and you know, shorthanded goals, and just he always seemed to come up with the goal when the Penguins needed it. You know, he's the kind of guy you want on the roster.
Just like a Sutter.
Yep, exactly.
Just like a Sutter. That's the way it usually works out, but. The Giants play tomorrow, obviously, against the Philadelphia Eagles, a big test for them. Obviously, a couple wins and in a row for the G-men, but they are playing down in Philadelphia and an underdog. I can't believe that, but Big test. You know, the Giants have looked better of late, but they've got that. They've got those defensive problems.
Yeah, that's the problem with, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, and Philadelphia has been no swan story, you know, right now. They've been struggling, you know. They get Murray from Dallas, and what, after two games, he had 2 yards?
Yeah.
Not an auspicious start.
Yeah, I know, and he's, you know, he's on one of my fantasy teams, you know, believe
yeah,
me.
I was just going to say he must be, because the way you just sighed, just said it all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so actually, basketball starting in a couple of weeks. Who cares?
Really?
Yeah, really.
I thought it did start.
No, well, preseason. I think the 28th starts the season. But, well, like I said, you know, as far as our favorite team is concerned, you know, they do have a very home heavy start. I think 15 of 20 or 13 of 20 are at home to start the year. So that's, again, a good thing, you know, a good concern. You know, they do hit the road a lot in November, the middle of November. I think they do the California swing, and then they're doing the Florida swing. Like I said, I'll be down in Tampa in the end of the month of November, which I can't wait for. A nice arena. That would be a nice place to go, John. I know you were talking about going to Boston, but...
Yeah, no, I almost... Yeah, I mean, because I was going to go to see the Rays play when I was back there in July.
Ooh.
Yeah. Just
as beautiful as the Amalie Arena is in Tampa, is the opposite of the dump that is the St. Petersburg.
Yeah, that's what they told me.
Oh my God! The most exciting thing there was the Devil Ray tank. There is a little tank, you know, you can go feed the stingrays and stuff like that. That's like the best thing that you can have there. But that's, other than that, that's about it. I don't know how they still have baseball in Tampa, but they do. But anyway, yeah. So, John Tavares, as we stated, you know, he's back to his typical start. 8 points in 5 games, among the league leaders already. You know, there's just something about the way he's come out this so far this season. And what I've noticed, especially in the interviews, it looks like he's gained about 3 years in age and I don't want to say maturity, because he's always been a very mature, down-to-earth, solid kid. But I think he's taking a lot more of the captaincy seriously and a lot more weight on his shoulders and a lot more responsibility. So he feels he needs to speak in that responsibility. Not that he was ever bad.
No, it's just a different – you're right. There's just I can't put my finger on it either. And it's just when he's out there, it's something is always happening. You know, it's like you're waiting for that, you know, he's going to score a goal. He's going to set up a goal.
And I think a lot of times, obviously, it bothered him. It drove him crazy. And you could see the look on his face when there were times when either the third or the fourth line of the other team would put three guys on him, would put three forwards on him. And that would bother him to no end. But I think now when it happens, you know, maybe he's playing that Taylor Swift song, Shake It Off. You know, he's getting away from that. He's getting away from those situations and clearing the room up for other guys. And I think that's I totally enjoy when he sets somebody up. I mean, yes, he's a goal scorer. He'll always be a goal scorer, and he's going to want to score goals. But when he sets somebody up with those ridiculous plays, you know, those highlight reel things, you know, those things that make you go, did that just really happen?
Yeah.
You know, that's when that's the price of admission. That's what you want to pay for. You know, and you know, now that I'm not a season ticket holder, that's what I'd be paying for. And he better come through that I'm not a season ticket holder. So when I show up, he better go. But I digress. We got about 5 minutes left, and let me just quickly check again to see what Mr. Syndergaard is doing.
One of the biggest mistakes I put on Islander games a couple of times, and you know, in background, I usually have a rule when I work. I you know, do telephone training for clients, and I usually don't put anything on because I find my brain gets distracted and I should be focusing on the client. But you know, when the Islanders had the opener on a Friday night, I was working with people, and a couple of the weeknight games, I made the mistake of putting the games on in background. Anytime JT I'd hear his name. My ears would just be focusing on James in the TV, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this.
You can't move your mouse now.
I had to turn the games off because I just found I was just getting too distracted. You know.
I mean, this is the weird thing about the schedule again. Last night, obviously, they played on Saturday night. What's normal for an Islander fan? A Saturday night home game.
Right.
Yep. And so 17 games last year were on Saturday night. This year, 4.
Yeah.
And 2 of them are in the last 2 weeks of the season. So they have, I think they have one more in, I think the end of November or early December, I believe. And then the 2 in April, a 1 o'clock game. And then the last game, I think, is a Saturday night. That's strange.
That's very strange.
I mean, Sunday games at 5 o'clock, Sunday games at 7:30, Sunday games at 4. I mean, the first game I think I'm going to be covering for WGBB is on like that Sunday afternoon game against the Boston Bruins. So, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to covering a game as opposed to, just sitting in game. But again, you got to be happy for the start, for Ranger fans, a little struggle here and there. But, again, talking from our NHL head as opposed to our Islander fan head. They'll come through and they'll be able to do the job.
They're going to make the playoffs.
The question is, it's not even talking the playoffs. The question is you got to keep, to me, I think that the secret to this season is being able to keep Mr. Lundqvist healthy and rested.
Right.
Because, he will do well for you in April and May, but he's got to be able to be ready for it. And, guys like Kreider and Nash, as Steve Sapay said, and we thank Steve for calling tonight, have to step their game up. So, it's going to be an interesting couple of weeks. There's a lot of home games going to be played in Brooklyn and the Garden. December 2nd, mark your calendar. That's the first game that the Rangers and Islanders play.
It is
at Barclays Center.
It's hard to believe that that's the first game December.
Yeah, and knowing I will not be anywhere near the trains that night, John. No, I'm staying away from it. John, we made through 2 hours, buddy.
Yeah,
we did a great job. Again, we want to thank everybody that that called in and talked to us. Brad Kurtzberg from Inside Hockey, of course, Steve Sapay from Newsday, and of course, the legendary Jiggs McDonald. And thank you to Dr. Stephen Bruck for giving me his little call before
roving
reporter before his hot dog came.
Yeah.
I'll make
hot
fun
dog.
Of,
yeah, rates
hot dog
more
yeah,
than us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, look, he paid our bills.
Yeah, it's
okay,
true.
Okay, so we got to thank him for that because he does. And also, thank you to Harbor Beverage Merchants of Huntington for being a sponsor of the show tonight. We'll be back in about 4 weeks' time. This is the end of Sports Talk 1240 tonight. Thank you, John, as always. Joe, thank you for bringing John with us tonight. And this is Gary Harding, and in the words of Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. Good night.
Views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.